is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
You should see the scene outside my window right now. The snow is coming down. It looks like a Currier and Ives Christmas card outside here in February. But there's some big issues going on out there in the country. All over the news, there's a report about a Democratic presidential race that is nowhere near decided. And I want us to think theologically today, and in terms of the church, what does it mean that we now have an African-American candidate who is doing as well as Barack Obama? What kind of signs should we read from that? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, who's a little bit under the weather today, as is about every third person that I know, as all of the various sicknesses are going all over the place since we're all inside these days in the winter weather and around each other all the time. He's a little bit under the weather, but you know what? We know that we're sitting here today in this studio talking about some issues that they're going to be resolved not for a long, long time. All of these illnesses and sicknesses will be over sooner or later. All of the snow will be swept away outside of this radio studio. But we may not know who the Democratic nominee for president is until this summer. And we certainly won't know how some of the issues being raised right now are resolved until the fall and then beyond. What I'd like to know from you, when you look at Barack Obama winning caucus after caucus after caucus after primary, is this good news for us? Now, I don't mean, obviously, is President Obama good news? Obviously, we would disagree with Barack Obama on all kinds of issues, and we don't even know that he's going to be able to withstand the Hillary Clinton machine and Bill Clinton machine. My question is, when you look and see, where have we come to the point where the American people are able to look beyond race to the degree that white voters in Kansas are voting for Barack Obama? Should that give a signal to the church as to how we ought to be addressing the race issue, if there even is such a thing as a race issue? What can we learn in the church from the Barack Obama candidacy? Frankly, my concern is not simply that you have an African-American presidential candidate who's able to speak both to black voters and to white voters, but I wonder why we don't have more pastors who are able to speak, not with the kind of ideology that Barack Obama has, but to be able to speak the gospel to both white people and black people. Why don't we have churches that are seeing the kind of racial reconciliation that Barack Obama is promising in his presidential campaign? What can we learn from this? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Do you think that the church is poised at a place right now where we're going to be able to address some racial reconciliation issues in ways that we maybe haven't been able to do in the past? Are we living in a new day? Or do you think that those divisions and those hatreds, they're still there but under the surface? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How can the church lead the way in a nation that is swept away with Obamamania? 877-893-TALK. Give me a call. Let me know what you think. And speaking of Barack Obama, he won the main caucuses, giving him 4 victories over the weekend, defeating Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton there in Maine. He also won in Washington, in Louisiana, in Nebraska on Saturday, and by huge margins. When you look at the margin of the vote in every one of those contests, it wasn't even close, especially in Nebraska. in Washington State. He is absolutely dominating in these caucuses. And Senator Clinton, of course, is shaking up her campaign, replacing her campaign manager on Sunday. Also, in other news, Mike Huckabee won the caucuses in Kansas and just barely won the Louisiana primary, defeating John McCain. And the Washington State caucuses were still up in the air as of Saturday night, with the Washington State Republican Party claiming with 87% of the vote in that John McCain was the winner. Mike Huckabee is challenging this. Ed Rollins, his campaign manager, is saying that he's going to get in a legal dispute with the Washington State Party, and they're going to address this. In the midst of a lot of conversation still going on about whether or not conservatives are going to support John McCain. James Dobson endorsed Mike Huckabee Friday and said conservatives aren't going to be able, in his view, to support McCain because of issues ranging from conservative judges and the ways in which John McCain has served with the Gang of 14 and others in some not exactly very supportive ways of conservative judges, embryonic stem cell research, the Human Life Amendment, all of these other issues where conservatives are saying John McCain isn't exactly what we want. And as a matter of fact, Mitt Romney won the Conservative Political Action Committee, CPAC, straw poll on Friday after he dropped out of the race on Thursday. So somebody who was already gone actually defeated John McCain in that contest. And so I think John McCain has a lot of work to do over the next several weeks and months convincing conservatives that he's one of them, and also convincing them not just that they ought to vote for him, but that they ought to organize. They ought to be enthusiastic. They ought to be on the phone with their friends and talking with others about supporting John McCain. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that goes. Time magazine has a piece about N.T. Wright, Bishop of Durham, speaking about heaven. And I think N.T. Wright's piece here actually is pretty good. Wright talks about the way that so many people in American culture and in Western culture generally have a really spiritual, cloudy, ethereal view of heaven. I think he's exactly right. There are a lot of people out there who think of heaven just as a choir practice that goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And N.T. Wright, I don't agree with him on everything, but I agree with him on this. He rightly says that what we're waiting for is not just heaven. What we're waiting for is a new creation, resurrection from the dead. In other news, Ken Ham is all over the newspapers these days talking about Answers in Genesis, the Creation Museum, about the controversies that are flowing out of this museum here in the state of Kentucky, where I am right now, up near Cincinnati. And the Christian Century looks at this museum, critiques it, liberal Protestant viewpoint, saying this isn't what they believe, but they still stand back and say, you know, you've got to admire a place that has this kind of presentation of a viewpoint. Ken Ham also recently over the weekend speaking about his view that creationism actually combats racism. He says, if you understand that human beings are created in the image of God, that all people come from Adam, then you're going to have the resources to be able to combat racism. He says, otherwise, if you hold to an evolutionary understanding of human origins, then you're just going to wind up with white supremacy or with black supremacy or with Latino supremacy. You're going to idolize the genes. I think he's on to something there. I think that Christians ought to be the ones in the forefront speaking about issues of race and situating race, not in terms of identity politics, but talking about race as part of a creational understanding of what it means to be a human being and what it means to be made in the image of God. Barack Obama is in the news right now, all over the place, with a good deal of excitement. I have to tell you, when I saw Barack Obama winning the Iowa caucuses, I had to remind myself for a minute as I listened to his speech that this is somebody who is pro-abortion rights, who is culturally and socially and politically opposed to almost everything that I believe in, and yet it was exciting to actually see an African-American man standing there receiving the votes of white voters. I had to remind myself what he's about, what he believes. Do you think that the Barack Obama candidacy gives us an opportunity as a church? Should we look and see, are we really as far advanced as the outside culture outside of the church at speaking to issues of racial reconciliation? What about your church? What about your congregation? Do you think in your congregation that if people in your neighborhood were to come in and to look at your church and look at the way that you speak in your church and the way that you minister in your church, that they would be able to say, yeah, here is a place that's able to get beyond those racial and cultural divisions? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And if not, what do we need to do? Why in the world should our churches be the most segregated places in the country when the rest of the country is saying we need to get beyond something that all of us can recognize is wrong? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Racial reconciliation, how do we accomplish this, not just in the presidency, in the White House, but in your local church? 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Hillary Clinton really lambasted Barack Obama when he said that he would be a transformational president, not like Bill Clinton or George W. Bush, but he would be like Ronald Reagan, somebody who would really change and turn around the very direction of the very kinds of questions that people are asking. One of the interesting things about the Barack Obama candidacy is that Obama is saying that he can bring in evangelical Christian voters because he's a man of faith and he is somebody who can speak to issues that transcend red state, blue state America. Do you think that's the case? What do you think that Barack Obama would actually transform about America? And how about you, evangelical Christians out there? Would you be willing to vote for a Barack Obama as opposed to a John McCain or a Hillary Clinton? Might this really change the whole playing field? Some people are saying, you know, the way in which Ronald Reagan was able to come in and reclaim a whole generation of evangelicals who previously were Democrats for the Republicans, will Barack Obama do that for you? When you're looking and seeing the Barack Obama candidacy all over the television screens, winning caucus, after primary, after primary, might that be somebody that could change the level of the debate? Will we be talking about different kinds of issues 5 years from now? Will we be beyond debates over abortion? Or is this more of the same? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. First three callers get an autographed copy of Culture Shift, Engaging Current Issues with Timeless Truth by Dr. Mohler, signed in his hand for you, for the first three callers who call in today. Do you think that Barack Obama will be able to change the playing field in America? What do you think would be better or worse about the kinds of conversations that we have with our neighbors if Barack Obama actually were to be elected president? Or do you think that's just a bunch of political rhetoric right now? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. You've got articles that are completely at odds with one another about Barack Obama, both kind of breathless on either side. So that Andrew Sullivan, for instance, in an Atlantic Monthly cover story not long ago, says that Barack Obama actually will change the playing field all over the world, because he says if you have people in the third world and even in Europe who wake up in the morning and see that America has elected an African-American president, someone who is a very cosmopolitan figure, someone who spent time in Indonesia as a child, someone who has the middle name of Hussein, Sullivan says that's going to immediately show a different kind of America. On the other hand, John McWhorter, writing in the New York Sun, who's an African-American columnist, he says that if Barack Obama were Barrett O'Leary, if he were a white Irish guy with that kind of experience, that he would not be having any kind of following anywhere in the country. He would obviously be seen as not having enough experience to be president. He sees nothing transformational there. But a lot of people are saying Barack Obama, he is the guy who can tap into the evangelical vote. Relevant Magazine, which is kind of the magazine for young evangelicals who are involved in the emerging church movement. And I did a straw poll recently, or a poll of their readers. Who would you support for President of the United States? Barack Obama came in number one. Is this the guy who's going to be able to reach into the evangelical vote? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Would an Obama candidacy change things for you? And I don't just mean about the way that you would vote. Do you think it would change even the way that we talk about cultural issues? Would we have an entirely different kind of discussion? That's what Obama says. He says, you know, we can get beyond the red state, blue state types of divisions between the Christian, non-Christian types of debates that go on. I don't know. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And I'll be glad to talk to you. What do you think? What would a Barack Obama candidacy mean? 877-893-8255. First three callers get a copy of Culture Shift, Dr. Moeller's new book. Now, as I look at the Obama candidacy, one of the things that I think is being missed here is that there's not a whole lot different. There's not a whole lot different about Obama when it comes to the issues. A lot of the discussion that's being had is simply at the level of symbolism. I find myself thinking about this simply at the level of symbolism before stepping back and saying, but wait a minute, what does Barack Obama actually believe? Once you get past and once you get beyond all of the rhetoric about bringing America together, then what's the discussion about? And the discussion is pretty similar to the same kinds of discussions that we've had in the past about a whole variety of issues, whether the issue is abortion or limited government or any of these things. I'm not sure how an Obama candidacy in and of itself is going to be able to get us beyond that kind of disagreement. How do you kind of transcend issues that are so absolutely fundamental as that of the beginning of human life? How do you treat people who are made in the image of God? But there's some people who are saying, well, what Obama can do is to come in and speak the language of the evangelical voter in a way to reach the evangelical voter. What about you? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. We have Margaret on the line calling from Colorado. Margaret, what do you think about the Barack Obama candidacy?
Well, as far as his beliefs, being a Christian and on top of that being a Hispanic, I wouldn't vote for him just because he's a person of color. And I think that's what they're selling his candidacy on mainly. And
you,
not really
you would not vote for
beliefs.
Him because he's a person of color?
Yeah. I mean, they don't look at his beliefs. They asked the one that was running this Mormon, they asked him about what he believed, but they didn't ask Barack Obama.
Okay, so you're saying nobody is asking Barack Obama about what he actually believes as a Christian?
Yeah, and his background and, you know, his stepfather and what he believed, you know. You know what I'm saying? All that plays in the kind of person you are today.
Okay, so when you go into the voting booth, what are you going to be looking at?
I'm going to be looking at somebody that is closer to what biblically, you know, what my beliefs are.
Margaret, don't you think that it would be quite a shift and quite a transformation for an American society that's been plagued with slavery and segregation and racial division to elect an African-American president? Does that come into play at all?
I think it would be. You know, it would be. But sometimes we give up some things that we shouldn't give up just because we want, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure. Well, what do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. There's a lot of people out there saying that a Barack Obama candidacy is going to transform the playing field so that the kinds of old debates, pro-life, pro-choice, red state, blue state, those things are now going to be done away with, and that Barack Obama will be able to tap into evangelical Christian voters because he's somebody who's as George W. Bush used to say about himself, a uniter and not a divider. Do you see that kind of new national unity coming with Barack Obama or with anyone else? Should we even look for that kind of thing and want that kind of thing? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
James Taranto, The Wall Street Journal, talks about how Mitt Romney seemed so inauthentic because he was so in love with data, with thinking things through, like the management consultant that he is. And Taranto says, by contrast, Barack Obama, senator from Illinois, who is rocking the political system by moving through win after win after win in primary, after caucus, is somebody who is so inspiring that, as Taranto says, it's becoming deeply creepy. And one of the things that Taranto mentions is this new music video that Obama supporters have done, speaking of Obama like this.
It was a creed written into the founding documents that declared the destiny of a nation. Yes, we can. It was whispered by slaves and abolitionists as they blazed the trail toward freedom. Yes, we can.
It was sung.
It was sung by immigrants. As they struck out the distant shore. Pioneers pushed westward against unforgiving wilderness.
Well, you know, I don't find Barack Obama creepy, but I do find that creepy. That really is part of this whole messianic kind of flavor that Obama supporters are placing upon this candidate. And as a matter of fact, it's not just them. Even Barack Obama is talking in those kinds of terms. We're the ones that we've been waiting for, he says. It sounds almost like the apostles pointing back to Moses in Deuteronomy. There's a prophet like me who will come. Listen to him. This is really a fervor that is going on for a candidate that is more than a candidacy. I just saw the other day one of the precinct captains in Maine, Barack Obama precinct captains, who was a 17-year-old girl, says she's waiting for this all of her life. She's been waiting for this kind of candidate, and he inspires her in a way no one has ever inspired her before. My question for you is, do you think that Barack Obama is the kind of candidate who can bridge the culture wars, who can speak to evangelical Christians in a new way? That's what he thinks. How about you? Will it do it for you? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. We have Rick, who is listening in Whittingham, Vermont. Rick, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
And thank you.
What's your thought on the Barack Obama candidacy?
Well, first of all, 15 years ago when Colin Powell was highly considered for the presidential nomination, I probably would have strongly consider him myself because of his background, his beliefs, and his ethics at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so much as race and creed. But I'm not too sure if Obama can offer the bridge that truly is required for us as Christians into the world itself.
Why not?
I don't think it's... I think it'll start a good conversation, but I'm concerned about a lot of the things on the way. There's some things where he's not totally seemed to respect the American flag itself and different things that we've seen along the way during the political advertisements.
All right, Rick. If you're talking about respecting the American flag in terms of the urban legend about Obama refusing to salute the flag, I think that's been completely discredited. I don't think that that's an issue. I think there's plenty of reasons to be concerned about Barack Obama without some of the urban legends going around about his Muslim identity. I just don't think those things wash. I think there's plenty to be concerned about, though. You've got somebody who has a leftist understanding of the political and social issues of the day that's something we ought to be concerned about without really worrying about some of these other issues, whether or not Barack Obama salutes the flag. I think he does. He pledges allegiance. He's led the United States Senate in pledging allegiance. But is that enough? Do you think that Barack Obama is right when he says he's the guy we've been waiting for to bridge the divide? We have Joe on the line. Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, I am not an evangelical Christian. I am Christian. I am pro-life. My understanding is that Barack Obama is not, that he is pro-choice, that his party is pro-choice. I don't know if we have to go any further than looking at that and say, no, I don't think he is someone that evangelical Christians should vote for. I don't think you need to look at it any further than that.
All right, so Joe says you get to the abortion issue and that's it. Barack Obama, though, says he thinks he can transcend that. He can bring in evangelical Christians and others who disagree on that issue and come up with a new consensus. Do you agree? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about what's going to be happening tomorrow as voters in Virginia and Washington, D.C. and Maryland go to the polls, and it sure looks like Barack Obama is doing well there. Now, of course, you can't discount that Bill and Hillary Clinton machine, and they have a pretty good organization in Ohio and Texas and Pennsylvania, some big states that are coming up. But the discussion is whether or not this race is going to go all the way to the convention with the superdelegates making the decision as to who will be the Democratic nominee in what looks like a Democratic year. And one of the central arguments that Barack Obama has is that unlike Hillary Clinton, who's divisive, evangelical Christians and other Americans just seem to immediately be divided up over whether or not they agree with Hillary Clinton. Barack Obama says he can do something different. He says that he can bring the nation together, red state, blue state, evangelical, non-evangelical, and that he can transcend some of those culture war issues. Now, having an African American this seriously considered for president is an amazing thing. And honestly, it tells us a lot of good things about our country. But is Barack Obama the guy? Is he the one who can unite and bring this country together? What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Do you think that Barack Obama can tap through and reach into the evangelical voter to reach and really bridge some of the fractured cultural divisions that we have right now? 877-893-TALK. We have Victor, who is calling from my home state of Mississippi. And Victor, I keep with my policy that Mississippians always start right off, so you are number one in this segment. What's your thought on this?
Well, I think it's a great value. I can see the benefits of having an African-American male, and that says something about our country.
Uh-huh.
However, as a Christian, I would have a great deal of challenge with his liberal beliefs, from what I've heard so far. And I know what we see today in terms of people coming behind him and supporting him, it is a lot of those folks that are very much very liberal and very much opposed to a lot of the Christian values that I would hold. And it would be interesting to see if that would hold up in the general election.
Well, Victor, the Mississippi primary is coming up on March the 11th. Who does excite you?
Well, from my opinion, I would actually prefer Mike Huckabee.
Okay. All right. Well, Victor says he is not going to be able to go with Barack Obama. He doesn't see that bridging the gap of division because you've got the same old liberal support base behind Barack Obama as with 1,000 other contenders before. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. Barack Obama says, if you give me a chance, he says to the Democrats, if you give me a chance, I'm going to be able to win over voters like Victor. Obama says, yeah, Victor would rather have Mike Huckabee right now, but I'll be able to win over those values voters because I'm going to be able to transcend the divisions. Do you think that that'll work? Do you think it'll work with you? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Let me know what you think. We have Donald on the line. Donald, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great. You think Barack Obama's the guy to bridge the gap?
The way you just worded your question, my answer is I don't think that Barack Obama is going to change anyone's viewpoint.
Okay.
Being a liberal, I consider myself a Republican, pretty conservative.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited when I hear this guy talk, and I got to say, you know, maybe he can bring the gap closer, but close it? No, not in one generation. I don't think so. I like the guy. I think he's inspirational. I think he causes people to act, and in causing people to act, that particular action that we, the people, make, that way a change can be made, maybe by someone after him. But we've got to get the ball rolling and started somehow. Because the guy is charismatic, it doesn't mean that he doesn't have it on the ball. I think Mike Huckabee is as charismatic in a different sort of way. In a different sort of way. I like Barack Obama, and I'm not even a Democrat. But I like the guy. I like what he says. Do I share his views? No, but I also don't think that the church and state should be combined.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Donald. Donald says he's got a little bit of an openness to Barack Obama, and that's really what I think kind of concerns me in this entire debate, is that there are a lot of people on either side of this issue that are banking a lot on charisma, banking a lot on someone's being able to give a speech. I think Hillary Clinton actually is on to something here when she says you need in a president someone who's not just able to speak, but someone who is able to deliver. And when it comes to the issue of what some people call wrongly values, I think this is more than values. It's not just what we value. These are issues of truth. I think Barack Obama, once you kind of get down to the nub of what he's talking about, it is a very radical social agenda. Now, it's one thing if Americans and evangelicals are saying, yeah, we want to follow that. I just don't see a wave of evangelicals following after Barack Obama, precisely because once you look at what he believes, it doesn't line up with a defense of human life. It doesn't line up with a defense of a strong social structure. Barack Obama says, though, no, if you give me a chance, I'm going to be able to convince you. Convince you with what? That's my question. Maybe you have heard something that Barack Obama has said or done that says, no, we ought to give this guy a chance. I think instead this is more of the same, just being said better. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let me know what you think. Do you think Barack Obama is really going to be able to tap into the evangelical vote? I don't think so. I just honestly don't think so. True, there may be evangelicals who are less than enthusiastic about the Republican nominee. That may be true. But even if Barack Obama were to win the Democratic nomination, and I agree, that would demonstrate and show an American society that's moving on the issue of race in the right direction, but wouldn't it show an American society that's moving in the wrong direction on other questions, like whether or not unborn babies are persons and deserve protection? In that way, maybe Barack Obama's charisma actually would make him more dangerous. Maybe it would make him exactly what he says he would be, transformative, but transformative in the wrong direction. Am I crazy? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mueller, and this is the Albert Mueller Program. Yes, we can. Or can we? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about Barack Obama, who is running for president of the United States. Sometimes you get those confused with the kind of overheated rhetoric being used about Barack Obama standing there almost in a shaft of light sometimes, because he is speaking in such a charismatic way about uniting the country. Question is, can he actually do it? Can he actually do it? We have Fritz on the line. Fritz, very quickly, what do you think about this?
Well, I think that liberals and Democrats tend to greatly overvalue minority status. And so in this case, they're really overvaluing Barack because he's an African-American. And I think as evangelicals, we need to ignore that and not be a respecter of persons, but vote based upon one thing, and that is pro-life status. That's it. That should be the litmus test for all evangelicals.
Yeah, I think that Martin Luther King is right when he says we ought to evaluate one another on the content of our characters, and I think that's going to be the issue, not speaking of Barack Obama's personal character, his personal morality, but his public character, his public morality. What would a Barack Obama presidency mean for that Romans 13 mandate that the government is to wield the sword against evildoers and not against the innocent? I think that really is the nub of what all of this comes down to. Will Barack Obama be able to unite America? Not unless he deals with the issues that are dividing Americans. Now, I think one of the things that we can hope and pray for is that Barack Obama would change his mind. It's happened before. Mitt Romney changed his position on abortion and on several other things. Maybe we should be praying right now that the Lord would work in the hearts and minds of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton on those defining issues of the rights of the unborn and some other things. And also, step back and recognize and see, Barack Obama is wrong on a lot of issues. We also ought to take heart at the idea that you actually have, in this country that was plagued with slavery and segregation, we're actually talking about a serious contender for the presidency who's African American. I think that's a challenge for our churches. I think one of the reasons why some people are so overheated in enthusiasm for Barack Obama is because they think that Barack Obama as president will be able to bring about racial reconciliation. No. That's not the way reconciliation happens. Reconciliation happens through the gospel, happens through churches, as churches are reconciled. As we see more and more churches that are preaching and proclaiming not some liberal agenda, or even some conservative agenda, but the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings people together in a unity in Christ. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.